I'm going to move into talking about fellowshipping with God, knowing Him. And there are things that you need to know the principles, but it's not principles only. We're going to open our Bibles this morning and look in an area where I just heard in my spirit the Lord say a particular phrase that I know was in the Bible, and looked it up and just went from there. Praise the Lord. So you can learn all the principles, but you need to know the builder and the author too. And when you do this, how you do that, how you receive instruction, all that kind of thing. So this morning, let's go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope," and I've ministered some on hope recently again, "may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, we've previously looked at this verse, and we've concentrated on hope. Hope, confident, favorable expectation, looking forward, knowing where things are going to go, expectation in the Word. Bible hope, different from how we understand hope, where the outcome's uncertain. In Bible hope, we know the outcome, and you get excited about that. So we've concentrated on that before. But this other part is what the Lord just put on my heart, and it's part of going all the way to victory. Here's some context for this. Pastor Sandy is with us here this morning, and we are, 12 days, I think, away from the one-year anniversary of her injury. And if you would have told me some months ago, it'll be a year, and I would have thought, that's too much. I can't do it. I won't make all that kind of stuff, right? And I've had to depend on the Lord to sustain me and instruct me and all that kind of thing. Yet we have come a long, long way in her healing. She is at such a better place. And as I shared earlier in the service, the Lord's told me, you've already come through the hard part, right? But there's another kind of difficulty associated with time passing and the potential for impatience, the potential for giving up. Even though the hard part is done, I'm not satisfied with where we are. And we have a promise. We have a principle of, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation or delivering power. Well, I'm not satisfied. And for that word to come to pass for me to be satisfied, it has to be as he said, Jeremiah 30, "For I will restore health to you and your wounds I will heal." Well, I'm not satisfied until it's undeniably, completely, and totally true. Amen. Right? So we're looking at, we have come through 1 year. A year I didn't volunteer for, and I would question myself on my endurance for a year. Well, looking forward, how much longer? Well, that's kind of an out-of-bounds question. If you're walking by faith, it doesn't matter how much longer. But nonetheless, I've reached a point where I was beginning to sense in my heart that by working the principles, pushing the buttons, now we'll never stop working the principles, but we've come as far as we can go. And there's more. There's something more. Amen. And undoubtedly, this whole experience the Lord is using to grow me, to grow her, to grow our family, to grow our church. I've not walked this way before, and I'm learning how to. As I mentioned, I was in California for the Dufresne Holy Ghost meetings and talking with some other ministers there, one in particular, a lady there who lost her husband. She completely lost, and it's now 6 years. She sat down to talk with me a while because obviously I was in California alone, and there were others there who were alone, and I thank God did not lose her. But there's a commonality of experience where we understood one another. If you wanted to mention, say, loneliness or something like that, she understood that. I was just there to find more, to find what's next. One of the things she did mention was, and this has happened several times, especially someone who's lost someone already, and in her case it was very quick, she said, "In thinking about you, sometimes I think it was easier to be all of a sudden and over." I said, "Yeah, I know, that's entered my mind, but I can't go there. Can't talk about that. We're going forward. We're going forward." So I was beginning to get an awareness of, Lord, I'm looking for answers. And I went to California looking for answers. And I believe that I've at least been pointing in the direction and had those answers. And by the way, sometimes we might go, and I would encourage you, you go to maybe even a multi-day meeting and you have travel expense and time and all that invested in that. Now, of course, the meetings could be watched online. I could have watched all these meetings. It is not the same as being there. You will receive a richer blessing this morning being here than watching us by the live stream. Now, the live stream is there for those who can't make it for whatever reason. I get that. But anyway, you receive more in person. So I went. Is it worth the expense and the time and the effort? Hey, one key from God that unlocks the door forward, what is that worth? What's that worth to you? Priceless. Yeah, I know what it's worth to me. So yes, it's worth it. So I was there and found some answers. And part of it has to do with this. So here's the phrase that the Lord talked to me about. And here's what we need to pursue beyond the principles, working the faith principles, confessing our scriptures. It says here, again, this verse, God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The phrase in my spirit that kept coming up, the Lord was saying, joy and peace in believing. Well, obviously, the believing has to do with your walk of faith. We're talking about faith and faith principles there. But in believing, there should be joy and peace. Now, the devil's all the time trying to upset your peace. And if he can upset your peace, he can diminish and affect your faith. I'll give you just an example real quick. How much faith would it take to walk on the water? A lot? Okay. Do you know of anybody who walked on the water? Jesus and Peter. Peter had sufficient faith to walk on the water. Right? He stepped out of the boat and Brother Peter walked on the water. But then what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind and the waves, that they were boisterous. Let me tell you what happened there. He didn't diminish in faith, he lost his peace. And when you lose your peace, you diminish in faith. Peter had, greater than I, faith to walk on the water with Jesus. And what took that from him? His eyes saw a circumstance that took his peace. That's what happened. Now, in your walk of faith, you're progressing, you're going along, you're getting the victory, and something happens. There was an event when we were in Texas while Sandy was healing there in Texas, and a doctor said particular things to me, and it kind of blew me up in terms of really harming my confidence. It took my peace. And when we came away from there, Tammy and I, and we were going home for the evening, the Lord said to me, Jesus, he said, so, you saw the wind and the waves. Yeah, I saw them all right. And I said, and Lord, I'm sinking. He says, no, I caught you. And I'm lifting you up right now. So yeah, when you see the wind and the waves, hey, you're walking on the water.
Amen.
You are doing what can't be done by faith. You're walking on the water, and momentarily you're diverted in your attention and you see wind and waves. And what does it do? It takes your peace. It takes your joy. And when that happens, you begin to sink. So, joy and peace in believing. And here's what I've learned of the Lord and is a key for me going forward. That is this. I'm working the principles. I'm pushing the right buttons, doing the right things. That will take you to a point. But if you're not in peace and in joy, you're not everywhere you need to be. And for us to complete and to finish, I need to be in joy and in peace. When you're in joy and in peace, even if you're under very difficult circumstances, you kind of get back to normal. You're not living the problem. You're not dwelling on the problem. You're not walking around with your head hung low. There's a joy, a strength, a peace about you when you're truly in faith. And the Lord will give you time to get there. But I'm here to say today that you need to be in joy and peace in your believing. It's not joy and peace after the whole thing's done, though you'll have that. Notice it says joy and peace in believing. It's during the trouble. It's during the problem. Now, I am going to teach you a little bit of the technicality. So here we are, buttons and gauges. The word in, it says in believing. Now, just to read that ourselves, we would understand that to mean while you're believing, you're in the middle of believing, it's in the process, all that kind of thing. The word in the Greek there is inside, within, and then notice this, a marker of a location, usually without any connotation of motion. When you're really walking in faith, we sometimes say, I'm not moved. So this word is more about a location or a position or a place rather than the process. So in believing, in faith, you're going to come to the place where you're unmovable. Paul said, I am not moved, right? Unmovable. Well, when you're unmovable, though circumstances look threatening and things look like setbacks, and I don't know why this happened, and you know, fill in the blanks, all that stuff that happens, if you're moved, you're not in joy and peace, and you're not at a location of believing. So it means a location, it's a place, a location that's fixed and not moving. Now, the word believing there, fairly simple to understand, but in your Bible, the word, Greek word, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, is the word for faith or believe. It's translated both faith and believe. And then there's three or four versions of that word. This is one of those versions of that word, and it's a verb instead of a noun. Well, remember back to grade school. A noun's a person, place, or thing. What's a verb? A verb is an action. So here, believing is an action. Faith is active. Faith is something you do. So if we put these together, your location is right there doing faith. You are positioned in a verb. You're unmovable, yet you're active. You're unmovable, but your activity is faith activity. So in believing, this phrase in believing is a location or a place where you are in the activity of faith. Faith is an activity, but the location is unmovable. We can say it this way, an action while not moving, or something working when you're in the right place. Sometimes faith is not working because you're not in the right location. You must be following the plan of God for your life, for your faith to truly work. There are so many times when people, and they've come to you for prayer, they've come to me for prayer, they want to do their thing, follow their plan, and they want me to pray, God's blessing meets them. Well, we could show many places in the scriptures, it doesn't work like that. Just think prodigal son as a for instance. That blessing was not in the faraway country, it was in the father's house. So we need to be located in the right place. In the middle of the will of God is where you need to be. And then your activity of faith will be productive and effective. So again, working without moving. Have you ever heard or even said yourself, I know I have, this phrase, we're standing by faith, or we're standing in faith, or we're standing in believing. You ever hear folks say that? Yeah. Ever say that yourself? Yeah, I have. And often that's the expression used to describe when there's not an apparent progress and we're awaiting that progress. We feel like we're in that time between believing for the promise and the manifestation of the promise. It's an appropriate phrase to use. Yet, Haven't you felt at times somebody says that almost as a cover or a cop-out because nothing's moving and they don't want to take responsibility for it? Is that true? Sometimes is that the scenario? We've been taught all kinds of things through our lives in church, some of them right, some of them not. And so it's a phrase that people learn to pick up. Well, we're standing by faith. Are you sure? Amen. Are you in believing? I think one of the markers to look for is joy and peace. Joy and peace in believing. Peace is an indicator of in believing. Joy is an indicator of in believing. Now, I'm not saying you're ignorant to the seriousness of a thing. Yet on the other hand, you know, I mean, how serious was it that Jesus was facing? He'd be crucified, sin of the world come upon him. Yet the scriptures say he was filled with joy above all his brethren. So there are times when I think, and I may have been guilty of it myself from time to time as well, where this phrase, we're standing in faith, is misunderstood and misused. Because people come to church and they learn, even a church like ours where we say certain things, they learn the jargon. They learn the language, and it's a way to get people satisfied who ask you questions. How you doing? Well, we're standing by faith. And yet, you can see not only, well, you can see after years and years and years, there's just no movement. There's no improvement. So they couldn't have been standing by faith, genuine faith, because faith produces. Faith produces. So, there is such a thing as standing by faith or standing in faith. Yet I think we need to be very careful with our analysis internally. Am I truly standing in faith? Am I really where I need to be? There needs to be a confidence and assurance and confidence in the Word that, no, the Word's been spoken over it. So it's working. Well, where's the manifestation? On the way. On the way. There needs to be confidence in that. Yet, also in our hearts, and this may relate back to humility. Humility brings help. We were teaching that last week and the week before. Humility in heart always says, Lord, do I need to make an adjustment? Is there something more I need to learn? Something I need to know? Regardless of how assured you are, I have the Scripture. An interesting thing, some of you have, I've been told, or you've told me this morning, that you watched online some of the services where I was in attendance. And one of the ladies here told me how to pick me out of the audience and see me on TV having to do with gray hair. That's fine and all that. But I was called out by Pastor Nancy in the latter parts of one of the services with a word. And she said, I have seen people so adamant about a thing, so wed to it, so stuck to it, that they have followed it all the way to failure. And I think that was just a setup for the core of the Word of the Lord to me personally. She said, you need to always be looking to the Holy Ghost for what is the Word now and the Word today. Have you ever received something from the Lord and it empowered you for the day? And it empowered you maybe a few days, but then you needed something more? And you would speak that word again, yet it didn't have the same effect it did before. Why is that? That is because our Father and the Lord Jesus are about relationship, not formulas and pushing buttons. And we're to look to Him to day by day. So, joy and peace in believing, it can be used as a monitor. How are you doing? Where are you at? How easily moved are you? Can the devil cause some circumstances that will distract you and cause your peace to come from you? That's a real good indicator. So I had one yesterday. In the morning, my family's around me. It's my turn to tend to Pastor Sandy, take care of things and so on. After they all leave to go about their business for the day and I'm alone, all of a sudden I look over at her, and we've had this once or twice before. Something happens where we believe it's that she's in such pain on a particular thing that she kind of goes distant in her eyes and breaks out in a sweat, and it's like she's not there, not present. Well, I'm seeing that, and that can be a distraction, right? That could be the enemy. And it looks like a neurological event when her first injury happened, right? And so I knew the things that I just have learned and gotten from the Lord. Here's the test. I'm going to be tested. I'm going to be tried. He's trying to take my peace from me. And I jumped up and I said the word and I checked her vitals and did all of that. And I spoke some things concerning the word over her with great conviction, because I know. And I had gotten them in fellowship with God. And she cleared up of that in just minutes. And all her vitals were just totally normal. I know it now to be just a distraction. Just the enemy trying to take my peace. You get taught something in the word. You know the parable of the sower. The word is sown, and immediately the fowls of the air or the devil tries to come and steal that word. You will be tested in it. Just know it. You're going to be tested in it. So I saw, okay, this is a test, and I did not permit my peace to leave me on that. Amen. So there is such a thing as standing in faith. Let me show you something here. Standing in faith. Now, when we talk about stand, we use that word to mean kind of we're immovable. Standing in faith. We're standing in faith. We're standing in faith. We continue to believe. We'll not be moved from what we believe. We've said the word. I've gotten the word of the Lord. The Lord said this. That's it, right? But yeah, it's a genuine thing. Misused, misunderstood? Yes, sometimes. But it's also a genuine thing. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. We'll read 13 and the first part of 14. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And it says, and having done all to stand, then verse 14, stand therefore. So there is a stand. But while we're here, I want you to note that Paul wrote, having done all to stand. There is preparation necessary before you can stand. You've got to do the homework. It isn't just, you just make up your mind, well, I'm just going to stand in faith, and God's going to do it. Why is he going to do it? Well, because I'm standing in faith. Faith always has a foundation. Faith always has a word of God. Faith always has preparation. Even Brother Hagin would tell us when we were in Bible school, the Lord raised him up from a deathbed. But later in life and throughout the rest of his life, he said, if I ever felt a symptom coming into my body to bring sickness to me, he said, I always went back to the word and reviewed it before I spoke over my body that I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Well, that's good advice. Do the prep work before you make the stand. And Paul's parallel here is, he says, put on the whole armor of God. So if we haven't put on the whole armor, we're not ready to stand. So before you make your stand, you may have some work. You may have a lot of work to do before you're ready to make a stand. And then you can genuinely stand in faith. So having done all to stand, stand therefore. So there is a place and there is a time for standing, for being unmoved. But again, note the preparation for that place. There are believers who don't do the preparation work. They think you can simply be still, that you can simply not move from this place, that, can I say it this way? By some sort of stubbornness, it's going to work out. It's not about stubbornness. Faith is not known by stubbornness. And I think that's what Pastor Nancy's referring to. When people are so adamant on a thing, they can follow it all the way to failure. Day before yesterday, Nicole and Jeremiah had their third child born. Happened to be while I was airborne between California and coming home. But they texted me just before. The baby was under a little bit of stress and sideways, and they said a number of hours and it'll be cesarean. That's not at all what they wanted. They were opposed to it and so on and so forth. Well, I just checked my spirit, checked with the Lord, and the Lord said to me, and I relayed to them, everything's going to be okay. Amen. And I said, the Lord didn't tell me which way it'll be, by cesarean or not, but everything's going to be okay. Well, it turned out to be by cesarean because kind of, you know, hospitals are thinking about liability. And once they spot a thing, they just won't go back on it and all of that. But if they were totally adamant about, no way, no way, no way, there will not be a Caesarian, they could have followed that all the way to failure. Well, I believe what the Lord told me. Yes, continue to believe what the Lord tells you. But you can be so adamant about a particular way that the Lord's going to do a thing that you can follow it to failure. When you're truly believing, standing by faith, there is a yieldness to God where there's flexibility. The scriptures say all things work together for good for them that love God, called according to his purpose. You can always believe that even if you don't know what twists and turns might be in the road. And even this morning, spoke with my son this morning, you know, and he's still a little upset about the hospital kind of pushing them that way. And I get that, you know. But I said, look, everything's worked out fine. Everything's good. I think I'd look forward and not worry about that no more. So everything's fine. Everything's fine. So there is a standing and there is a being unmoved, but it also is flexible in how's God moving, how's God leading, you see. And you can have peace even when it's not exactly the way you would prescribe. You can have joy even when it's, you know, I've said this to the Lord, you know, I didn't volunteer for this, right? But I trust him. I trust him. If I trust him, I'm adaptable. I can change. Like that word that Pastor Nancy gave to me. You go to the Word, you go to the Holy Spirit, you go and you find out what's the manna for today. What will take me through today? What's my answer right now? And that fresh word is what you speak. So you can be immovable in faith, yet very flexible. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to fellowship with God. You're going to have to follow God. Standing, as Paul was talking about here, having done all to stand, put on the whole armor of God, standing was a battle tactic of the Romans. It says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, where do we stand? On our feet. Where are we shod or wear shoes? On our feet. I think it's no coincidence that Paul, in talking about the parts of the armor and what they represent spiritually, that how our feet were prepared has to do with peace. So standing was a Roman battle tactic, and they would fight by drawing the enemy out, the enemy to attack them when they stood in battle array, shields locked together side by side, shields over the top. They were almost impenetrable. And the shoes that they wore were not Roman sandals like you see in the movies and all that kind of thing. They might have wore those for sunny days on the beach or something like that. But the Roman soldier outfitted, his shoes were metal plates for the bottom with spikes in them, strapped onto his foot and leg. Then from the knee down, they wore what we would call greaves. There was a metal around the front and metal around the back. So from the knee down, they were covered in metal with shoes that had spikes. What were the spikes for? Two things. First, the spikes were that when you stood, you couldn't be moved because you have a firm grip of the ground. The second thing that those spikes were for was it was a heck of a weapon to stomp somebody. You can take peace and stomp the enemy. Yes, you can. So it's not coincidental that Paul just kind of went through what the armor represents and so on. So that's how they did their fighting. Again, Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So there is a relationship between truly believing and other things. In this verse, Romans 15, 13, there's a relationship of joy and peace in believing. And the verse talks about hope all there at the same time. So it's not just principles of faith and doing what you're supposed to do in faith. It involves hope. I've taught extensively on that on other occasions. But not just hope. It's joy and peace. Yes. There's a relationship there. So let me ask you, can you doubt in your heart and truly be believing or standing in faith? Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he says. Can you doubt and truly believe? No. Can you fear and truly believe? You can come through fear, but to have the full manifestation of faith, let's go back to Peter for a second. Think about Peter. He stepped out on the water, and then what crept in on him? Doubt? Fear? I'll add another one here. Can you worry and be anxious and be truly believing? The answer to all these questions is no. We're not where we need to be in faith and be worrying and be anxious. Oh, I'm not worrying. I'm just concerned that. I have questions. How's this going to work? Why? How long? Those are things that are indicators of anxiousness. How long is it going to be? Well, I don't know. But the Lord is able to sustain me all the way. And that is peace. Right? Becoming, in a sense, okay. Faith is active, yet it's an immovable stand. So how? Why? When? Why? How? Why? All of that stuff is indicators that we are not where we need to be. So that verse again, notice that it says, abounding in hope, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you, while we're here, note where it comes from, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're to abound. Did you see a relationship here in believing? Abounding in hope, joy, and peace. Those three are present in believing. So if we are believing, yet we don't have hope, we're not in joy, we're not in peace, we're not where we need to be. And that should not be called, then, standing by faith. Sometimes I think when folks use this, well, I'm standing by faith, they think if they can just gut it out long enough, it'll work. It's not about human persistence. It's not about human endurance. It's not about how tough you are. I'll tell you right up front, I'm not tough enough. I'm not stubborn enough. I have declared to the Lord, I am utterly dependent on you. Lord, if you don't bring me through here, I won't come through. By the way, him bringing you through doesn't mean that you just kick back and do nothing. You're going to apply yourself. Yeah. There should be an abounding in hope, and there should be joy and peace in our believing. Back to the soldier illustration for a second, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If that Roman soldier was ever knocked off of his feet, his shield comes up, his sword goes back, his helmet goes down, and he is vulnerable to attack. That would expose him where he could be run through with a sword or a spear or something like that. It is very important when fighting to keep your feet. And in Roman battle tactics, that was what it was all about. Locking shields together so that anybody that pushed on the front of them, they met the collective force of all the Romans standing together. And collectively, they would brace themselves, get their footing with them spiked shoes, and take the blows. Their battle tactic was, let the enemy wear himself out. And we will stand here defensively, and we will stand in unity together, and we'll take all those blows. And then on a certain command, certain places, they would open the gap between the shields, and a spear or a sword would come through and pierce an enemy. And one by one, they'd start falling in the front. And the enemy would wear themselves out trying to break the Roman ranks. And as long as they had their feet, they had their peace, they were almost undefeatable. You ever hear this expression? Knocked off my feet? What does that mean? That means you got your whole emotional well-being upset. It means you lost your peace. Or another version of it, I got my feet knocked out from underneath me. And if you get your feet knocked out from underneath you, you are vulnerable to attack. Your shield of faith is not in position. It goes like this. Your sword goes like this. Your neck goes like this. You are wide open to attack. It's vitally important you keep your feet. And if your feet are your peace, do the preparation so that you're ready to stand. How do you know that you're actually standing in faith? Well, here's how you know. There will be a presence of joy and peace while you stand. There will be a presence of joy and peace. Now, things can be difficult to go through, and joy can seem far away. Joy can seem very far away. But if you'll fellowship with God, that sense of well-being and peace can grow and grow and grow. You'll know you're not standing alone. And joy, in fact, can come to you even when you're going through difficult things. Now, one of the messages I heard this week quoted Pastor Nancy, and part of the reason I go is I receive things and I bring them back home, right? But a particular individual going through struggles and some troubles and so on, and it came up in the message where this individual called Pastor Nancy and relayed, you know, they were standing in faith and it was dragging on and dragging on, standing in faith. What's the problem here? What do I need to do? And Pastor Nancy said this, because we often look for, well, if I stand in faith, I know what I'll receive. So I got to double down on my faith. I got to increase my faith. And we go back to the Word, and we go back to probably the same scriptures. Or sometimes you get, I use those scriptures. You got any other scriptures? I've been asked that. Pastor, I've stood on this and this and this. What am I missing? What else do I need here? What other scripture? Sometimes people are looking for the magic bullet, the magic pill. And that's not what faith is. That's pushing the buttons and trying to work the principles without the relationship. And usually if you find yourself in that position, you better go to God for those things. Maybe I can help, maybe I can't. You might need to go to God on those things. But she said this. Of course, you recall, I forget exactly where, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that faith comes, and it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Interesting note there, when it says hearing by the Word of God, there's two Greek words that are translated word, logos and rhema. And on that occasion, it's rhema. And it's translated different ways, but one of them is a spoken word, a revealed word, a particular word to you. So faith comes not by reading the scriptures in black and white, but by the word quickened, revealed, or spoken to you. That's why I say things like, find your scriptures in preparation where you're standing in faith, and you better own it. In other words, it better be something that God has spoken to you, and He will give you. You stand on this word. You speak this word. That's how faith comes, right? So faith comes. And this is what Pastor Nancy said. Faith comes, but peace grows. Where do I get some peace? That's kind of like, where do I get some patience? I need some patience, and I need it right now. Peace and patience go together, wouldn't you say? If you're in patience, true patience, you have peace. If you're in peace, you have patience, right? And we know from the scriptures, they inherited through faith and patience. Patience is part, peace is part, joy is part of obtaining the promises in your hand, in the manifestation. Faith comes, but peace grows. And I'm seeing from the Lord that some things we've done by faith, but I also need to pay attention, especially now, to peace and grow my peace. And so a one-year anniversary of a particular injury for Pastor Sandy, so? If I'm at peace, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Doesn't mean anything, right? So peace, growing peace. I need to grow peace. How does peace grow? How do you grow peace in you? Let's look at Romans 15, 13 again, please. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where's joy and peace going to come from? Going to come from the God of hope. He's going to fill you. Well, I wish he'd get busy and do it. God, your word said you'd fill me with joy and peace. Now, come on. I'm here standing in faith, and you haven't filled me with joy and peace. Well, it's true. We need God to fill us. How does that happen? How will God fill you with hope, the God of hope? It talks about abounding in hope. How will he fill you with joy and peace? And to get to the point here, really, there's only one way. You can read the logos, the written down, printed on paper or electronically, read the word, the logos of God, but it has to become the alive word, particular to you. It has to become the rhema. Otherwise, it's just principles and procedures. There's one way that God fills us with hope and joy and peace, and that is through fellowshipping with him. If you don't spend time with him, you won't be filled with joy and peace. I've developed a habit and practice of getting up in the morning. It's usually every morning. In three things. Coffee. And reading the scriptures. And spending time fellowshipping with God. Talking to him. He talks to me. And there are times when God initiates conversation. I could be anywhere doing anything. And he'll just start telling me things. Helping me, filling me. But it's really important, even if we have a habit of Bible reading, if you don't fellowship with God in your reading, you're not going to receive the full benefit. Amen. Fellowshipping with God, there is such a thing. Paul wrote, pray without ceasing. Can you do that? Are we talking like 24/7 praying? Yeah. There are many kinds of prayer and way that prayer is manifested. And it's not just petitioning. It's not just when we're speaking, it's just being aware, constant conversation, saying things to him, him saying things to you, just kind of always knowing he's there. Now, on one occasion this week, I went to lunch, and I went by myself, and as I sat down by myself, I said, well now, Lord Jesus, why don't you sit down at the seat across from me, and we'll talk. So while I had my lunch, I fellowshiped with the Lord and talked to the Lord about some things. You can be just often, if not always, aware. He's right there. And if you'll allow him, he'll walk with you where you go. He'll talk with you as you go along. You can be in fellowship with him all the time. And as you grow to know him more and more and more, he can more precisely talk to you, and you know it's him. You ever have things come to your mind and you go, now, is that God? Or is that just me thinking? Or what is that? You know, I found myself even this week in the particular service where I'm thinking, Lord, I'm just so grateful that you have met all my needs. I'm here to receive from you. And as I receive the word, I fellowship with you. I'm getting all that I need. And Pastor Nancy was calling out some people. And probably everybody likes to hear from the Lord that way. Word of knowledge, right? And so I caught myself kind of thinking, you know, Lord, if you have a specific for me, I'd like to know that. I caught myself and I said, you know what, Lord? I don't need any particular word from you. I've received my word and I receive all I need in fellowshipping with you. I don't have to have somebody call me up. And then as I'm going over that with the Lord, just kind of felt, well, now she is going to call you up. And I said, no, I'm not going to. That's just me wanting to be called up. She's not going to call me. Yeah, she's going to call you up. And I'm going, no. And she calls my name. So you can be in constant fellowship. The Lord was telling me she's about to call your name, you know. And I'm trying to put that down. Why? I'm making sure that I'm not either in some kind of pride or misappropriated need that I think I have to have that. Right? Lord, if I need something, you'll get it to me. And I found myself in recent months really assuring myself as well. Jesus said, my sheep shall know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Because I've heard the Lord say some things, and then I've wondered, is that you, Lord? And he would reassure me, you know my voice. So I've started saying I know your voice, Lord. I know when it's you. I know when it's you talking. And I've seen my fellowship increase. And maybe even today I need to say publicly with everybody, I know I need to increase this. Even though you're doing whatever you're doing, we're going to have building stuff going on in the building here, and I'm going to be dealing with a couple of contractors, and all of that's going on, still I can be aware that Jesus is right there with me and talking to Him and fellowshipping with Him. So joy and peace, we're filled by God with joy and peace. Have you ever experienced the calming effect of being with someone in a time of need who understood you, who understood your need, who was able to protect you, and who could handle anything that comes up? Sometimes knowing somebody who's there, who knows how to handle it, is calming and helps and restores your peace. And thinking about this, I thought of two times that were particularly helpful to me, where being with someone helped my peace. The first one that came to mind was when I was learning in the airplane how to do stalls and recover from stalls. And I totally, in a secondary stall, lost the airplane. My son claims that I screamed like a girl. I don't think that's true. I think he just likes the story that way. But nonetheless, I did take my hands off of the yoke and looked at him. And it was particularly calming to know, while this airplane is pointed down at the ground and starting to twist, that he was with me. And I had a level of peace, even though I was upset that it's going to be all right. He wants to stay alive too. Right? Yeah. And another occasion that I recall where really just being with somebody, I knew it brought peace to me. We landed in Nigeria, Pastor Webb and I, going to Nigeria. And in their security lines and customs coming into Nigeria, which it's totally foreign to me. I'm in Africa, and things are different. They got their machine guns strapped on and all of that. It's a different world. And we got separated in the lines of going through customs. And I noted that I kept getting pushed back in a different line and everything. And I see Pastor Webb is through, meets our missionary that we're seeing, and they're greeting one another, and then they're leaving, going to baggage claim, and and I get to the customs window, and they call me out and start questioning, why are you here? I was yanked out of line like, oh boy. I felt like I'm in trouble here. I don't know anybody, don't know anything. Who are you with? Why are you here? Do you have any proof of that? And all those kinds of things, you know. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, Pastor Webb is here somewhere, and he's not going to totally abandon me. He's going to find me. So just knowing that I was with Pastor Webb, who had been there before, and was with our local missionary on the other side and gone somewhere, they literally were calling me out and going to take me to an interrogation room. They saw me being led away, Pastor Webb and the missionary, and called a chief of security and directed him over in my direction, and they straightened it all out for me. Yeah. Yeah. But that brought my peace back, and I was kind of okay knowing Pastor Webb was there. This is the same thing with fellowshipping with the Lord. When you know you're right there with someone who can handle it, who knows what the answer is, and you access that, you can just talk to Him, and He brings joy, He brings peace. And if something distressing happens, Jesus saw the wind and Peter saw the wind and the waves, Jesus was there. You know, Lord, help me. Right? You can call on the Lord and He can help you. But you get to a point too where maybe if Peter had another run at it, he could have said, you know, Jesus is right here. Lord, you're with me. And when you're with me, I know I can't go down. And his faith wouldn't have faltered, and he wouldn't have lost his peace if he got another shot at it, right? Well, we can have that shot at it. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with the Lord. Not just work the principles and speak the word. You see something distressing, speak the word. Yeah, go ahead, speak the word. But Lord, this is not surprising to you. Where are we at right now? Is there something I need to do? Is there an answer for this? What about this, Lord? And you don't let it shake you to the point of going down. We're sinking, we're going down. No, I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. And some of this comes with, here was the other side of the answer that I got, with understanding your blood covenant and who you are in Him and who you are to Him. And knowing what your place in the covenant is. And the more you know that, boy, the more you fellowship with God and the more immovable you are. So my point is this, that in fellowshipping with God, that's where joy and peace come from while you're in your believing. Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When you're in joy and peace, your soul is at rest. And verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And if what you're going through is not, in a sense, easy and light, then we need to, through fellowship with God, obtain joy and peace. Then Jesus said this in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If your heart is troubled and your heart is afraid, you'll find solution to that in fellowshipping with the Lord. It affects your faith, and you want your faith to continue to work, fellowship with the Lord. And then finally, Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Need some joy in here, so I need to watch the Three Stooges. Now, that might be good. That might be helpful. It might be good to look at other things. The Bible does say laughter is a medicine. And medically, it's been proven. If you can help people to laugh and keep them seeing funny things, it does good for them. That's true on the natural side. But where is the fullness of joy? It's in the presence of the Lord. If you're lacking joy, if you're lacking peace while you're believing, where's your answer? Where's your supply? Where's your joy and where's your peace? It's in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Take time to worship, even if it's just a few moments, to stop and acknowledge. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you that there's nothing too difficult for you. Lord, I thank you that your arm is not shortened. Is anything too difficult from the Lord? No. And Lord, you're walking with me. When I pass, the scriptures talk about pass through the fire. When you pass through the water, I will be there, he says. You were with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and they come out not even smelling like smoke. And this thing, though it burns hot, it will not burn me, and I'm not even going to smell like smoke. I'll be all right as long as the fourth man is in the fire with me. Amen. Yeah. Lord, yeah, I see it, son. I see it. We got this, right? We got this. You'll find that strength in fellowshipping with the Lord. Not just the principles of faith. Not just saying to the mountain, be removed. Not just pulling out your scripture list and going over it again. Doesn't hurt to go over it again. But I'm seeing like I've never seen before. Sometimes it's set your scripture list aside. And don't fellowship with your scripture list. Fellowship with the one who is the scripture. Amen. And that's where we find joy. That's where we find peace. That's where hope is. And that's where we'll find success in believing. We're not standing properly in faith until we are full of joy and peace. So I know where my work is for me. How about you? My work is in making sure that I'm doing the fellowshipping, that I'm just loving God, fellowshipping with Him. And when I come to Him, "Son, what you need?" "No, I don't need a thing, Lord. I'm just here because I love you. I'm just fellowshipping with you. I'm just worshiping you. I'm just acknowledging you." And in doing that, everything's being taken care of. Amen. Even gathering with the saints, it's a good thing because we help one another fellowship with God, don't we? Praise God. Receive not just the Word, but Him who is the Word. Hallelujah. Take a moment right where you are. Acknowledge the living Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge the Father God. You are born again. You spiritually are connected to Him. Be right now, this very moment, consciously aware. Glory to God. I love you, Lord. I'm confident in you, Lord. You are my peace. You are my joy. Everything I'm going through, Lord, you've got this. You paid for it with your blood. There's nothing too difficult for you. And I'm just following you, Lord. I'm just walking with you. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because I'm with you, Jesus. Your presence comforts me. Your presence takes care of me. Your presence teaches me. Your presence brings me happiness and joy. Your anointing destroys the yoke, takes the burden off my shoulders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you. I magnify the blood of your covenant. For we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you feel that Spirit of God moving in your spirit? Can you feel how that's bringing you life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if anything tries to upset you, just go to this place where we are right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you recall in the Old Covenant when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and a plague of snakes, venomous snakes, was going through the camp? They were being bitten and it would cause death. Do you remember the remedy? Moses is instructed, make a brass serpent on a pole. By the way, brass is not gold. It's an indicator of, same color, but not gold. That brass serpent was an indicator of the gold, Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. But they were delivered from a venomous snake by steadfastly gazing upon that serpent on a pole. If they were bit, they were not to run around like crazy. I've been bit, I've been bit, I've been bit, I've been bit. What am I going to do? They were to stop where they were with that venom in their bloodstream and steadfastly gaze at the forerunner, the precursor, the model of Jesus. If you get bit, what are you to do? Stop where you are, lift your hands, and look at Him who died on that cross and paid that price for you, and everything you ever could ever need was covered and paid for, and snake bit don't matter. I'm redeemed. I worship Him who paid for me. I'm in Him, and in Him I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm healed. I have all that I need. I have no concern. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm with Jesus. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. I believe if you'll do that, you'll find your faith working, 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 working. And take the time to be with Him. Amen. Every day. Every day. Take some time to do that. Be with Him. And you can be with Him 24/7 while you're working. You can be with Him. Amen. Father, I bless you and I thank you for these things. I rejoice in spirit. I'm with you. And you have abundantly filled us today with joy and peace and all that we need. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.